Imagine standing right in the middle of a working dairy farm in Lovington, New Mexico. I mean, the smell of manure is inescapable. The dust is kicking up.
Oh, I can picture it. It's not exactly a high-tech vibe.
Right. But now, picture this highly advanced modular machine sitting right next to those cows, actively converting that raw biological waste into the exact same sustainable aviation fuel that powers a commercial Boeing 747.
Which just sounds completely made up.
It sounds entirely like science fiction, but this is happening right now. Welcome to today's deep dive, by the way. I'm your host, and I'm so excited to get into this one.
And I'm your resident expert for this deep dive. Thrilled to be here.
So the reason this futuristic farm setup is actually happening is because the state of New Mexico has essentially decided to act like a massive, highly aggressive venture capital firm. They are deploying $150 million to make these technologies a physical reality.
Yeah, drawing on official documents from the New Mexico Economic Development Department and the Sandoval Economic Alliance.
Exactly. Okay, let's unpack this. Because whether you are a tech entrepreneur, a real estate developer, or just someone, fascinated by how the actual future gets built, this deep dive is a masterclass in how government and private industry are teaming up.
It really is a fascinating pivot. I mean, state-level economic development is radically changing right before our eyes.
How so?
Well, we are moving entirely away from the passive model of corporate recruitment. You know, the one where a state offers standard tax breaks and just sort of crosses their fingers, hoping a massive corporation decides to build a warehouse there.
Oh, yeah, the classic, please bring your headquarters here sweepstakes.
Right, exactly. Instead, we are looking at direct capital deployment into deep foundational tech.
And our mission for this deep dive is to figure out exactly how this $150 million research development and deployment fund, or the RD&D fund, actually functions.
Which is a beast of a fund, by the way.
It really is. We're going to break down the actual physics and mechanics of the mind-bending tech it's funding right now. And then we are going to look at why the physical dirt, the actual ground in places like Sandoval County, is the ultimate secret weapon to making it all work.
The unsung hero, really, the dirt.
Exactly. But before we get to, weather control and quantum supercomputers, I was trying to figure out the financial engine here. Looking at the Technology and Innovation Office, they just rolled out something called the Targeted Federal Match Grant.
Yes, the TIO's newest tool.
Right. And from what I gather, it is essentially the state acting as a rich uncle. Like, if you get a $1 million federal grant, the state promises to match it dollar for dollar. Am I reading the mechanics on that right?
You are reading it exactly right, and that rich uncle analogy is spot on. But the mechanics of how they issue this match is what actually makes it so disruptive.
Okay, disruptive how?
Well, this is an always open, rolling solicitation. And the turnaround time is a targeted 20 working days once a company submits a complete application.
Wait, 20 days.
20 working days, yeah.
I mean, if you have ever dealt with government funding, 20 days is practically the speed of light. It usually takes 20 days just to get a confirmation email that they received your PDF.
Totally. And
Yeah.
the reason this rapid turnaround is so critical comes down to a historical bottleneck in the tech industry.
Which is what?
The federal government has massive grant programs, things like the National Science Foundation's X-Labs, the Department of Energy's Genesis mission, or the DOD's Stratify program.
Okay, big federal money.
Right.
Yeah.
But the feds generally require cost sharing. They want to see that you have skin in the game. So they might say, hey, we will give you $5 million to build this prototype, but you have to put up $1 million of your own cash first.
Ah, I see. And if you are a mid-sized tech enterprise, you might have the most brilliant intellectual property on the planet, but you don't necessarily have $1 million in liquid cash just sitting in a checking account.
Precisely. That requirement alone can be a total death sentence for a startup.
So the state just steps in.
Yeah, the state steps in and offers a conditional commitment letter. They tell the company, if you win the federal award, we guarantee the matching funds. By doing this, the state is effectively de-risking the federal procurement process. When that local New Mexico company walks into the Federal Review Board, they already have their cost share guaranteed.
Which has to make them infinitely more competitive on a national scale.
Oh, absolutely. It's a game changer.
But I have to push back here for a second because this sounds incredibly risky.
How so?
Well, is the state just throwing taxpayer money at startups in a casino-style gamble, hoping one of them becomes the next Google? Because, deep tech startups fail all the time.
That is a very fair critique. It sounds like a gamble. But the genius of this strategy is that the state is actually outsourcing the deepest due diligence to the federal government.
Oh, because of the match requirement?
Exactly. New Mexico isn't just blindly picking winners. They are saying, we will only fund you if you have already survived the incredibly rigorous technical vetting of the Department of Defense or the Department of Energy.
So they let the feds do the homework.
Yes. The state is letting the brightest minds at DARPA or the NFF verify that the science is sound before a single dollar of state money is deployed.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. The feds verify the science, and the state provides the liquidity. And they have identified very specific sectors for this money, right? Mm-hmm. Advanced computing, advanced energy, aerospace, and bioscience.
Yep, those are the target zones.
Which brings us to the first major deployment of this capital. The state just injected $1.2 million into the quantum sector.
A huge move.
Six early-stage quantum companies got up to $200,000 each, with the caveat that they have to maintain their operations in New Mexico for at least 2 years.
And this is where we see the transition from abstract financial strategy to physical reality. What's fascinating here is the sheer audacity of the hardware these companies are building.
It is genuinely hard to wrap my head around. Like, let's look at Photon Q. They are a Chicago-based company expanding into New Mexico to build quantum memory devices.
Right, using a novel free space architecture.
Yeah, the documents say they put photons on a treadmill of compact mirrors to store them at room temperature. Let's translate that for a second. What on earth is a photon treadmill?
Okay, so to understand why this is such a breakthrough, you have to understand the core problem of quantum computing right now, which is decoherence.
Decoherence.
Yeah. Quantum bits, or qubits, are incredibly fragile. If they interact with outside heat or interference, they just lose their data.
So they basically scramble if it gets too warm.
Exactly. This is why you usually see quantum computers looking like massive golden chandeliers inside giant refrigerators. They have to be cooled down to near absolute zero just to hold information.
Which requires millions of dollars in exotic cooling infrastructure.
Right. So if you want to store data, which is carried by particles of light or photons, you can't just put them on a standard silicon chip.
Because they'd just fly off or degrade.
Yeah. So Photon Q has figured out a way to physically trap these photons by bouncing them continuously between a microscopic arrangement of mirrors.
Oh, wow.
They are essentially keeping the photons in constant motion, like running on a treadmill, so the data is preserved without needing that massive refrigeration.
So it's kind of like choosing to juggle objects to keep them suspended in the air rather than building a giant freezer to freeze them in place.
That is a brilliant way to visualize it. Right. I love that. And if they pull this off, they remove one of the biggest physical and financial barriers to scaling quantum networks.
Okay, that is wild. Then you have Conductor Quantum, a San Francisco company moving to the state, and they are tackling the software side.
Oh, yeah, with Coda.
Right. They are building an AI natural language interface called Coda, because right now, to operate a quantum computer, you basically have to be a quantum physicist writing incredibly complex code, right?
Yeah, it's not exactly user-friendly.
But Coda allows a regular developer to type a command in plain English, and the AI translates it into quantum operations. And this isn't just theoretical. Employees at NVIDIA and ARM are already using this interface.
And we're also seeing heavy investments in mass manufacturing for these components, too.
Like Mesa Quantum.
Exactly. Mesa Quantum is developing what they call QVCSEL sensors. These are chip-scale quantum clocks and sensors designed specifically for mass manufacturing.
So trying to bring the cost down.
Yeah, bringing the cost way down so they can eventually be put into commercial vehicles or satellites. And we see similar hardware plays from companies like UBQD making quantum dots and Mesa Photonics working on squeezed lasers and quantum sensing AI.
I hear all this and it is undeniably exciting. But I have to ask, room temperature photon treadmills, AI operating quantum supercomputers, are we funding science fiction here, or are these products actually ready for the commercial market?
Well, that's the ultimate question for deep tech, isn't it? Are we 5 years away or 50 years away? But when you step back and look at the ecosystem being built, it becomes clear this is not just a science experiment anymore.
How so?
Because New Mexico is deeply integrated with the Elevate Quantum Tech Hub, and they're actively partnering with DARPA's Quantum Benchmarking Initiative.
Oh, so they have real institutional backing.
Yeah. They are surrounding these startups with federal defense clients, manufacturing facilities, and research institutions. They are building the runway these companies need to actually cross from theoretical physics into commercial viability.
Okay, so let's follow that logic. Let's say you build this massive quantum computing ecosystem. Quantum computers require a terrifying amount of electricity.
They really do. They are power hungry.
Right. So if New Mexico is going to host the future of computing, they have to completely rethink their power grid, which explains perfectly why the very next check the state wrote was for $7.5 million, completely dedicated to advanced energy.
Exactly. The systems are entirely interdependent. You can't have one without the other.
Right.
And what stands out about this $7.5 million energy investment is how it is structured. They split the funding into two distinct categories:
Which are?
research and development for foundational tech, and then pilot projects for tech that is ready to be tested in the wild.
Let's talk about that pilot projects category, because that addresses what people in the industry call the valley of death, right?
Yes, the dreaded valley of death.
You have a working prototype in the lab, but you need millions of dollars to build a full-scale version just to prove to investors that it actually works in the real world.
Exactly. It's where so many good ideas just die.
So the state is funding these pilot projects to bridge that gap, and the physical mechanics of these are wild. Like, let's talk about Convective Technology Company. They're going down to Elephant Butte Lake to pilot localized weather control.
Yes. They are using ground-based heat sources to manipulate atmospheric conditions.
Right, and they aren't shooting chemicals into the sky or anything like that.
No, it's totally different.
They are literally placing high-powered thermal updraft towers on the ground. They heat the air, which shoots up into the atmosphere, forcing moisture in the air to rise rapidly, cool, and condense into rain clouds.
It's incredible.
They are trying to mechanically induce rain over drought-stricken areas to unlock water abundance.
And if you extrapolate the implications of that, I mean, if a company can prove that mechanical rain generation works predictably at a commercial scale, the value to global agriculture and drought management is almost incalculable.
Absolutely. Which actually brings us back to that dairy farm I mentioned at the very beginning of the deep dive.
Oh, right, circularity fuels.
Yes. Circularity Fuels is deploying a modular unit on a dairy farm in Lovington. So instead of hauling raw agricultural waste to a massive centralized refinery, they drop a reactor right next to the cows.
Right on the farm.
Yeah. This reactor uses a reformer to break down the methane from the dairy biogas into hydrogen and carbon monoxide, and then synthesizes that directly into sustainable aviation fuel and renewable diesel right there on the farm.
It is a masterclass in localized supply chains.
Huh.
You are taking a local waste liability manure and chemically converting it on site into a globally demanded high-value energy asset.
It's brilliant.
We also see this kind of localized disruption with heirloom energy.
Oh, yes. Heirloom is completely rethinking wind power because when we think of wind turbines, we think of those massive 300-foot towers that require specialized cranes and basically shut down highways just to transport the blades.
Total logistical nightmares.
Exactly. But Heirloom isn't building towers. They are building low-profile modular wind generators that run on a track.
Like a roller coaster.
Yeah. Imagine a 30-foot tall oval track where the wind pushes vertical blades horizontally around the track to generate power. Because it is so close to the ground, it can be installed using standard farm equipment, completely bypassing the logistical nightmare of traditional wind farms.
And we also have Firescape out there deploying GridWatch, which uses AI and satellites for wildfire risk software with utilities.
Right. So while these pilot projects are out solving immediate physical bottlenecks like water scarcity, jet fuel production, and wind logistics, the state is simultaneously funding the R&D side too.
Yes. They are investing heavily in the foundational technologies that will power the grid 10 years from now.
Let's unpack the R&D side because this is where the heavy physics really comes into play. You have Liberty Fusion.
Oh, fusion is always the holy grail.
Exactly. They are trying to build a lower cost modular path to commercial fusion energy. Traditional fusion, you know, the kind that promises limitless clean energy, usually involves building multi-billion dollar donut shaped magnets called tokamaks to compress plasma.
Right, massive expensive magnet.
But Liberty Fusion is taking technology pioneered at Los Alamos National Laboratory and taking a completely different approach. They take jets of plasma and literally shoot them at each other at incredible speeds so they crash and fuse.
Bypassing the magnets entirely.
Yeah, because they don't need those massive magnets, they can potentially build fusion reactors that fit inside a large garage.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And then there is GridFlow, which is tackling grid storage using vanadium flow batteries.
Let's explain what a flow battery actually is for you listening, because it is brilliant.
Please do.
When we think of batteries, we think of the lithium-ion battery in our phone, right? It's a solid block that degrades over time and, can occasionally catch fire.
Which is not ideal for the grid.
Not at all. But a flow battery doesn't store energy in solid metals. It stores energy in liquid electrolytes kept in two massive separate tanks.
Just big vats of liquid.
Yeah. When you need power, you pump the two liquids past a central membrane where they exchange electrons. And the beauty of this is its scalability.
Right, because if you want a bigger battery that lasts for days instead of hours, you don't need to invent new technology.
Exactly. You just build a bigger tank. And because it's liquid, it is entirely fireproof, making it perfect for neighborhood grid edge storage.
And we cannot overlook the geopolitical strategy embedded in these grants either.
Oh, like with Halo materials?
Yes. Halo Materials just received $1 million to onshore the production of high-purity graphite.
Which we need for everything now.
Everything. Graphite is a critical mineral for electric vehicle batteries and advanced nuclear reactors. But right now, overseas monopolies control almost the entirety of the global supply chain.
So this is a national security thing.
Absolutely. By funding a domestic, highly efficient method of producing this graphite in New Mexico, the state isn't just funding a business, it is actively patching a vulnerability in the national security supply chain.
We see that same efficiency push with molten salt solutions too. They created a process to enrich lithium that is roughly 100 times more efficient than legacy methods.
That's a massive leap in efficiency.
And Surface Transfer, operating as HeatFlow, who developed a two-phase turbine for geothermal energy. Normally, a geothermal plant pulls up hot water and steam, but it has to waste energy separating the steam from the liquid water before running it through a turbine.
Right, it's a very inefficient extra step.
But HeatFlow's turbine can handle the steam and the liquid water at the exact same time, pulling 20% more electricity out of the well at half the cost.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the strategy is brilliantly cohesive. The state is deploying capital to solve the hardest, heaviest physical problems we face as a society.
But here is where reality hits a wall.
Okay, lay it on me.
If I'm a company that just won this money to build a modular fusion reactor or a massive facility with huge liquid tanks for vanadium flow batteries, I can't exactly build that in a standard office park. Where do I actually put this stuff?
And that question brings us to the final and arguably most important piece of the entire economic engine.
The real estate.
Yes. You can have all the venture capital and brilliant theoretical physics in the world, but it is completely useless without the physical infrastructure to actually turn it on.
The dirt. This is where the documents from the Sandoval Economic Alliance, specifically outlining the assets in Sandoval County and the city of Rio Rancho, come into focus. They are providing the physical runway for all of this state-funded innovation.
Right. Because when one of these hard tech firms receives millions in state funding, their demand for physical space is immediate, but it is also highly specialized.
Yeah, a software startup can just rent a desk in a co-working space and get to work on Wi-Fi.
Exactly. But a company manufacturing quantum hardware or a firm testing hypersonic engines needs massive acreage. They need high-capacity utility connections, specialized clean rooms, and intense industrial zoning.
And the problem is, getting that kind of specialized zoning and infrastructure usually takes years.
Go frail.
You have environmental reviews, municipal permitting, utility delays. It can kill a startup before they even pour concrete.
But Sandoval County is capturing this demand by leveraging pre-vetted locations that are designated as official strategic development sites.
So they do the legwork up front.
Exactly. They're doing the environmental and zoning legwork up front,
Yeah.
eliminating the standard planning delays. And the way they are intentionally clustering these physical sites by sector is fascinating.
It is highly calculated spatial planning. Like, let's look at how they align the physical dirt with the state's priority sectors. For advanced computing and quantum, they are directing all development toward the Rio Rancho City Center.
Why the city center?
Because quantum computing development requires highly educated engineers and programmers. By putting them in the urban core, they tap directly into the existing talent density and technical workforce pipelines.
That makes perfect sense.
But if you are in aerospace and defense systems, they are pointing you miles away to the Castelian Hypersonic Campus on the Northern Mesa
Because of the noise.
because of the acreage and heavy industrial zoning. But more crucially, you need vibration isolation. If you are running an experiment on a quantum clock or testing defense sensors, and an 18-wheeler drives by on a nearby highway, the microscopic vibration can ruin the entire experiment.
Wow. I wouldn't have even thought of that.
Yeah. The Castalian site is geographically isolated to prevent exactly that.
And for advanced energy and manufacturing, those companies building massive flow batteries or fusion components, they have the Tamaya Ventures Site 5.
What's the advantage there?
The primary operational advantage of that clot of dirt is its pre-buffered industrial boundaries and massive high-load utility access.
So the power is already there.
Exactly. These companies don't have to wait 3 years for the local power company to drag a heavy transmission line out to their site. The infrastructure is already waiting for them.
Furthermore, expanding firms can stack these state TIO grants with incredibly aggressive local incentives.
Which is huge for their bottom line.
Huge. They specifically highlight Industrial Revenue Bonds, or IRBs, and the Local Economic Development Act, LIDA funds. So a company can use state money to engineer the technology and then use local municipal money to drastically slash the upfront capital expenditure of building the actual factory.
You see, if we connect this to the bigger picture, site certainty and predictable permitting are now the ultimate competitive advantages in global economic development.
Absolutely.
A startup might receive $20 million in federal and state matching funds. But if they are stuck waiting 3 years for a local zoning permit, their technology will be obsolete before the doors even open.
It's dead on arrival.
Yeah. By pre-configuring these sites, San Bumble County is ensuring that the physical environment is moving just as fast as the technology it intends to house.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? If you are tracking the future of innovation, it means realizing that building the future isn't just about writing code or raising venture capital.
No, it's much more grounded than that.
It requires local municipal planners, utility executives, and real estate developers to be actively laying down high-load power lines, ensuring fiber optic redundancy, and fighting through heavy industrial zoning hearings right now.
They have to prepare the physical ground today.
Exactly. So that when a state-funded innovator needs a home tomorrow, the site is ready to catch that wave.
It is a complete ecosystem approach to building the future.
It really is. Let's summarize this incredible journey we've just been on. We started with a radical new model of government funding a $150 million state matching fund designed to de-risk federal grants and act as a massive venture capital arm for deep tech.
A total paradigm shift in state economic development.
Then we broke down the mechanics of the Quantum Leap Fair funding, exploring how photon treadmills keep data alive at room temperature and how AI is democratizing quantum coding.
Some truly mind-bending hardware in there.
We tracked the $7.5 million designed to bridge the valley of death for the energy sector, looking at how plasma jet fusion works, why vanadium flow batteries are essentially just massive, scalable liquid tanks, and how dairy biogas is being chemically synthesized into jet fuel.
From the lab to the real world.
And finally, we grounded all of those sky-high ambitions in the heavy industrial zoning, vibration-isolated dirt, and strategic real estate planning of Sandoval County that makes building these physical machines actually possible.
It forces a profound shift in perspective, doesn't it?
How do you mean?
Well, for decades, we have been conditioned to think of technological innovation as something that happens almost entirely in pristine university laboratories or isolated Silicon Valley garages.
Sure, the lone genius myth.
Exactly. But looking at New Mexico's comprehensive strategy, we have to ask a fundamentally different question for you all to mull over. Are local municipal zoning boards and county infrastructure planners actually the new unsung gatekeepers of human technological advancement?
Oh, wow.
Think about it. You can have a team of Nobel laureates who have figured out limitless clean energy, but if you cannot get the local zoning approved for a modular fusion reactor, or if you cannot lay the heavy utility lines for a hypersonic testing campus, does the future just get put on hold because of a local permitting issue?
That is an incredible thought to walk away with. The very real possibility that the speed of human progress doesn't just rely on the genius of our physicists, but on the efficiency of local permitting and pre-vetted dirt. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive today. There is so much more to uncover in how our physical world adapts to our wildest technological ambitions. So keep exploring, keep asking questions. We'll catch you on the next one.